Mark 5, beginning at verse 21 through 34. And when Jesus was passed over again by ship unto the other side, much people gathered unto him, and he was nigh unto the sea. And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, he fell at his feet, and besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse, when she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, Who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. Amen. And we know the Lord will add his blessing to his word for his name's sake. Last Lord's Day, if you were here last Lord's Day morning, we considered the great theme of precious faith from 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. We saw that faith is precious because it's a gift. It's a gift from God. It's a rare gift, and it is a gift shared by all believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. In my study of Mark chapter 5 this week, I made a connection between the precious faith referred to in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, and the words spoken by the Lord Jesus Christ in verse 34 of Mark 5. Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. The Lord called this dear woman daughter and spoke of her faith as the reason for her healing. The woman now possessed this new precious faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. What a gift, which again, you can see the connection between what happened to her and the teaching of the Apostle Peter in his epistle in 2 Peter 1. And faith is precious indeed, and it's active in the life of a believer. And I think that's another reason why faith is precious, is because it's active, it's alive in the person that has it. You can see it. You can feel it. When the Lord comes upon you, the Lord gives you this precious gift that you now trust in him and believe on him. Before you didn't. Therefore, I would like to show how the teaching of precious faith in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 is worked out in the life of this woman here in Mark chapter 5. So the title of my message, my morning message, is simply Precious Faith in Action. Precious Faith in Action. And then in the afternoon service, I would like to consider the faith of Jairus, who we read about briefly in Mark 5. So we're going to look at the faith of this woman who had the blood issue in the morning service. And then in the afternoon service, we're going to look at the faith of Jairus, because these two intersect. So I feel like I have to say something about Jairus since we briefly mentioned him. So the woman's faith was precious because of four reasons in our text. First, it was precious because it was a saving faith. It was a saving faith. Precious faith in Christ saves us. Saves us from many things, but it saves us from, in this context, the futility of the world. Precious faith in Christ saves us from the futility of the world, or the worthlessness of the world, or the meaningless of the world. This is exactly what happened to this woman. We read this in Mark chapter 5, verses 25 through 26. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing better, but rather grew worse. See, the condition of the woman was very serious. She suffered greatly and did not seem to have much time left to live. She had exhausted all her money on doctors and medicine to help cure her disease, but without any success. And if anything, it got worse, as the scripture says. And how hopeless and helpless this woman was. What a desperate condition this woman finds herself in Mark chapter 5. And this is the spiritual condition of the world today. This is the world that we live in. This is a good representation of the spiritual condition of the world in which we live. And this may even describe your spiritual condition today if you're outside of Christ. Well, it does. It does describe your spiritual condition if you are outside of the Lord Jesus Christ. Like this woman, your spiritual condition is serious and terrible. And add to the misery of it all, the world offers things to help with your serious condition, but they don't work. They can't work. Why? Because this is a spiritual condition. And the world can't help with the spiritual condition that we have, the spiritual condition of sin and wickedness. The world has no power, no cure for it. And what an illustration this is of the futility and worthlessness of the world when it comes to the spiritual realm. You cannot be cured of your spiritual infirmities and sicknesses and diseases by the world. And Christ essentially says that in Mark chapter 8, verse 36. He says, "For what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" The world can't do anything to your soul. It can give you a big bank account. It can give you a nice car. It can give you a fancy house. It can give you a nice lawn, but it can't give you a new soul. It can't help you at all, at one iota, one bit, when it comes to the spiritual realm. See, the world is sick and twisted in sin. We live in a world of futility when it comes to spiritual matters. And like the sick woman, the world is getting worse by the minute, isn't it? It's getting worse by the minute. They have no idea how to cure the spiritual problems that men have. That's why John writes in 1 John chapter 2, verses 15 and 17, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." See, John is describing the futility of the world when it comes to spiritual matters. They're given over to sin. They're given over to their lust. They're given over to pride. And that's the world we live in today, my friends. It's the same world that we read about that Jesus Christ came into. Nothing's different. The world can have no effect on a man's soul in a positive sense. It certainly can have effect on a man's soul in a negative sense. But not in the positive sense, to redeem that soul, to make that soul right with God. It's futile. And the woman here shows us the picture of how the world, though it may help us to feel a little bit more comfortable in the world, it may help us to some degree, it cannot change one bit our spiritual condition before the Lord. See, the woman in Mark chapter 5 realized the futility of the world. But she also came to learn that the world was futile, but there was a hope that she never heard of before. There was a new hope that she had heard. And so therefore, listen to this hope. Saving faith in Christ not only leads us away from the futility of the world, and that's stated negatively, that we're saved from the futility of the world. The question is, what's the positive effect of the Lord in the gospel? This is the positive effect. It leads us in the right direction toward God. Listen to what happened to her. In Mark 5, verse 27, we read, "When she had heard of Jesus," when she had heard of Jesus, here was the turning point in this woman's life. When this poor, sick, hopeless woman heard of Jesus. She suddenly had hope that she didn't have before. She had tried everything that the world had offered to her, and she was hopeless. But now, there is this Jesus that she hears about. See, a ray of light penetrates her dark and troubled soul. She felt a little of what Paul writes about in Romans chapter 15, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Here it is, right here. When she heard about Jesus, it shows us the Holy Spirit was working in our hearts to give her a glimmer of hope. There is this ray of hope, this Jesus she heard about. That's the gospel. In a dark and fallen world, in a world that's futile, there is hope in this world, and that hope is Jesus Christ. And this woman heard about Jesus. See, this woman heard of Jesus, and she went a step further. She just didn't hear about him and then forgot him. She just didn't hear about him and then thought of something else. She believed in him. She believed in what she heard about Jesus. See, that's faith. That's saving faith. She believed he could and would heal her. There is this tremendous power that comes into a sinner's heart when faith is born. It's this understanding, this belief that before all we had was hopelessness, now there is this new, bright hope that never was understood before, and it's found in a person. It's found in Jesus. And this is what she did. She heard it, she believed it, and she acted upon it. That's really what Paul says in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, when he says, faith cometh by hearing. This woman heard about Jesus. And she wanted to know more about this man. She wanted to know, who is this man? And what did she hear about Jesus? Well, people were telling her, this man has great power with God. This man speaks like no other man. This man can do miracles and change lives. And there's proof of it. There are people that have been healed. People who couldn't see, now they see. People who couldn't walk, now they walk. People who are sick, now they're healed. And she heard all these things about Jesus. And so she started to think, well, if Jesus could do that in this person's life, and in that person's life, he could do it in my life. See, she acted upon what she heard. That's what makes faith so precious, is that it's something that moves us in the direction of God. It moves us in the right direction. See, faith in Christ begins our journey with God. It's really, that verse right there shows the window into this person's faith. It started there. And it starts all the time there when it comes to a sinner. Because when sinners are saved, they're saved the same way. Maybe not in the same dramatic way, but in the same message and with the same hope. And that is, when you hear about Jesus, all of a sudden there's something that makes you think there's an interest in this person that wasn't there before. Who is this Jesus? There is this wanting to find out more about Jesus. And as we find out more about Jesus, we discover great things that we would have never known without Jesus if we didn't have that initial curiosity, if you will, or interest in the things of the Lord. This woman certainly had this saving faith in the Lord, and it was seen in the way she moved in the next few verses here. We know that Psalm 37 teaches that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. See, the world's futile. It's a futile world. It's worthless. It leads to destruction. It leads to confusion. It leads to utter ruin. That was the path that this woman was on. But when she heard about Jesus, that direction changed. That direction was now a direction that was hopeful in the Lord, hopeful in what God could do in her and through her and for her soul. See, people are not happy when they're lost. know, people are miserable. Just think of the last time you got lost going somewhere. You know, you're supposed to go to someone's house. You have an appointment. And some reason, the directions, I'm not finding this place. I can't find this place. I'm lost. What happens? Do you rejoice and say, praise God, I'm lost? Well, you become irritable, right? You become irritable. You become frustrated, right? You become almost sometimes angry. You start blaming people for being lost, but it had nothing to do with the people, but you're lost. That's what happens with people that are lost. Very irritable, very frustrated, always blaming and even being angry at the situation. So that's the way the world is. The world is lost. And because of that, that frustration comes out in their life. And that uncertainty comes out in life. Where are we going to find this place? We're lost. And isn't it until you get the directions to go to the place that you find that there is now a peace now, an understanding that you didn't have before? That's what this woman was. This woman was lost. She heard about Jesus, and now there's a direction that she didn't have before. And that direction is a direction towards God. See, that's what Jesus does. When we learn about Jesus, he teaches us about God. Why? Because he is God. Because he is the second person of the Trinity. Because he's God incarnate. And without faith in Christ, there's no way to find God. Lost and in darkness, what are people to do? Well, Jesus tells what people are to do. The great verse in John chapter 14, verse 6 says, Jesus said unto them, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That's the only direction to God. That's the only way to understanding who God is and what God has done in salvation. It's through Christ. And this woman came to believe that. And in her own way, she heard what people told about Jesus, and she wanted to find this person because her situation was desperate. Her situation was very serious. Do you ever sense and feel your serious, desperate situation in your own sin? When you, God gives you a sight of who you really are in your sinfulness, and you see how serious it is. You see in your heart that there is everything in me, just wickedness and vileness. And I see in my heart just uncleanness pouring out. We're just like this woman. Until we hear this hopeful, blessed Jesus told about us. And we want to know more because we're desperate people as sinners. We're serious. We need hope. We need salvation. We need deliverance. And this woman needed to be delivered from her sickness in her body. But what about the sickness of her soul? See, she wanted to be whole. She knew her body was failing her. She knew her body was ravished with this disease, but she also knew her soul wasn't right. And she wanted to be made right with God. See, when we come to Christ, we're not just asking the Lord to help heal our bodies. He's here to heal our souls. Because the world can't do it. The world can in some ways help our bodies to some extent, can help our quality of life, give us medicine, this and that. But like I said, it comes back to making a person whole. Only Jesus can do that. Only Jesus can give you a soul that seeks after God. And this is what this woman is showing to us. See, we must come to Christ to be saved from our sins and from this sin-cursed world and from the futility of this world in the spiritual realm. The world can do nothing for your soul positively. That's why Christ said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, but seek first the kingdom of God and all these things shall be added unto you. See, precious faith in Christ leads away from the futility of the world. That's the negative. But then as a positive, it leads in the right direction toward God. But secondly, let us consider that this woman's faith was precious in Mark 5 because it was not only a saving faith, but it was a sincere faith. It was a sincere faith. Listen to her thinking and her thoughts here in Mark chapter 5, verses 27 and 28. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, if I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole. See, faith in Christ is precious because it comes from a sincere heart. See, the woman's faith in Mark 5 did not call attention to herself. It wasn't loud or pompous. On the contrary, her faith was not pretentious, but sincere and honest. She came to the Lord with all her heart. She came because she came in sincerity, just the way she was, filthy, dying. And she did it because it was her only hope. It was her only desire left. And she didn't have much time to live on this world. Her time was running out. See, her faith was a lot like what we read about, spoken by Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 17, verse 20. Listen to what Christ says. And Jesus said unto them, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. And Christ also said the same thing, but a little different in Luke chapter 17, verse 6. If ye had faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say unto this sycamore tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it shall obey you. See, this woman had this mustard seed faith. It was, in a sense, you could say small. It was very quiet. It was very tender. It wasn't bombastic and proud and everybody to see it. It was very, very quiet. And yet it was all sincere in that she was seeking the Lord with all her heart. And that's what makes faith so precious, is because it's everything that is within us seeking the Lord. That's the kind of faith that God gives to us. It's so precious because it involves all of our being, our very core, not just our minds, not just our understanding doctrine with our heads. But here's a woman who didn't know any doctrine. Here's a woman that didn't have any teachings of Christ. All she knew is that, I heard some things about Jesus. I've got to go to him, and I've got to go and touch him. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes faith doesn't make any sense to us in a human logical sense. When this woman was convinced that all I need to do is touch this person to be healed, it doesn't make any medical sense. How could touching someone's coat heal her of her disease? See, what happens is when faith comes into our hearts, it touches our hearts, but it also changes our mind. It changes the way we think. We think differently. And this woman, because of the faith she had in the Lord, she had this trust that if I could just touch him, I would be healed. Where did that come from? She didn't have it before. It came from her faith in the Lord. And this is a tremendous picture of how a heart and a mind are changed by the Lord. By faith, this woman shows us that here is a woman who had such faith in the Lord that she believed that if she could just get to him, just touch his garment, not say anything to him, not introduce herself to him, not make herself as grand entry to the Lord, just touch his coat. The Lord has that much power, that much grace to heal her and to help her in her great trials. And you can see, in a sense, how she had that mustard seed faith. And yet it was such a great faith, wasn't it? There was nothing small about this faith. And yet the faith that she had now was a sincere faith. It touched her heart and it touched her mind. See, the woman in Mark chapter 5 believed the words of Luke 1 verse 37. For with God nothing shall be impossible. Nothing shall be impossible with God, was her belief in the Lord now. Mark 9 verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believe. Indeed, the heart of the woman in Mark 5 was changed, but her mind was changed also. She thought in ways that she never thought before. What made her think to just come to this plan in her own mind that I just have to touch the Lord? Think about it. She came to that in her own thinking. That just got to touch the Lord. Where did that come from? It came from faith. It came from her believing that the Lord is powerful enough to help me and to cure me of all my diseases and all my difficulties. It's really what Jeremiah says in Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. She wasn't calling on the Lord in a sense, but in a sense she was calling on the Lord, right? The calling was the touching. She was touching the Lord. She had to get to the Lord. See, precious faith in Christ manifests itself in a sincere heart and in a changed mind. And if you're a Christian here today, you know God's done a work of grace in your heart because your heart's different. Your mind's different. You think differently. You don't think like you used to think. You don't act like you used to act. You're a new creature in Christ. We read about that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Here, we're seeing this evidence worked out in the life of this woman. She's showing her sincere faith with her heart, but then her mind is coming up with this plan that all I have to do is touch the garment of the Lord Jesus Christ, the hem of his coat, and I'll be healed. Where did that come from? It came from faith. It came from trust. And the world will think that's crazy. You can't do that. You're wasting your time. You're telling me that this woman's going to touch the coat of this man and she'll be healed completely from this disease where the doctors of medicine had no effect at all? Yes. Because she doesn't follow the laws of the world. She follows the laws of faith now. She has a new master. She has a new savior. She has new hope. And this is the evidence of the new hope. She thinks differently. This leads to my third point. Woman's faith in Mark 5 was precious, not only because it was saving and because it was a faith that was sincere, but it was a simple faith. There's nothing complicated about what she did. She came to Christ, she touched Christ, and she was healed by Christ. Well, it's so hard to understand about that. It's simple, isn't it? It's something that a child can understand. The story here of this woman, how was she healed? We could just summarize it by saying she went to Christ, she touched Christ, and she was healed by Christ. Simple, isn't it? It is. The gospel's simple. Faith in Christ is simple. She experienced what Malachi wrote about in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. But unto you that fear my name shall the Son of Righteousness arise with healing in his wings. She probably didn't even know that verse was in Malachi chapter 4, verse 2. And yet, what that describes in Malachi 4, 2 is exactly what happened to this woman in Mark chapter 5. She feared the Lord, she trusted in the Lord, she put her faith in the Lord, and what was the result? The Son of Righteousness came with healing in his wings. That's really what the gospel is. See, faith is precious because it's not complicated, it's simple. Remember the two simple words of the thief on the cross to Christ, "Remember me." That's all he really said when he came to showing a window into this man's faith, "Remember me." And Christ said, "I shall remember you. You will be with me this day in paradise." Remember me. Two words. Save me, Lord. Simple. There's this crying out from the heart of great trouble and darkness from the depths. And the Lord hears and cries our cries, and he comes and does that work which only he can do. Have you ever cried to the Lord like that? Have you touched the Lord? Have you ever realized how simple faith is? It's simply asking, knocking. It's simply coming to the Lord with your burdens and crying out to the Lord to save, to heal, and knowing that because of what God's word says, the Lord will do it. The Lord will promise us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. When the woman simply touched Christ, she was immediately healed, it says. There was no like waiting period. There was not like there was this like no time where this power had to work its curing effect. She was healed immediately. And it led Christ to ask this searching question, who touched my clothes? Now, when it talks about that verse, when the woman touched Jesus Christ, and you know, he asked the disciples, who touched my clothes? And the disciple says, is he serious? All these people around him, and he wants to know who touched him? And yet what he was talking about wasn't a physical touch. It was the touch of faith. Because there was virtue that left him. There was this grace that left him and went into her to heal this woman's soul. And see, even the disciples were somewhat ignorant about what was going on. They didn't realize that this touch was not a touch that required a physical change, but this was a spiritual change that took place only from the one who could change our souls, and that's Jesus Christ. And see, this says something powerfully to my own heart when we look at Christ's question, who touched my clothes? Christ is touched by our faith. When we put our faith in the Lord responds. The Lord is moved. That's what Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. See, when we touch the Lord by faith, the Lord is touched by that faith. The Lord is moved by that faith. So Christ was touched by this woman's faith in Mark 5, and so too is he touched with our faith. When we move in that direction of this woman, when we touch the Lord, if you will, if we call upon the name of the Lord just doesn't ignore us. The Lord just doesn't walk away from us. The Lord hears us. He draws near to us. He loves us. He comes and he does that which only he can do, and that is he ministers to us. He gives us grace to be able to help with our infirmities. And with our trials and troubles, he does, and he will. See, with this simplicity of faith in Christ comes also a growth in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. We don't know what this woman did after she left the Lord. She went away, obviously, but we don't know what her life was after this account in Mark chapter 5. But from the biblical teaching, when you understand what faith is simple, but yet this faith that is simple is a faith that grows. It doesn't stay stagnant. It just doesn't stay the same. That's why we read in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. See, this simple faith is a precious thing, but it can be easily misunderstood. You can think that I just need simple faith. And I just need to trust in the Lord. I've done that in the past, and I put my trust in the Lord, but my life now isn't a reflection of what I say I did in the past. Well, that's not really understanding faith, is it? Because when you have simple faith, that simple faith grows. It gets stronger, becomes more full in Christ. That's the natural development of faith. It's not, and we all go through these periods, we all go through these cycles, but the thing that we all share in common is that we have the simple faith in the Lord, and we're all growing by God's grace and by God's Spirit. See, the Apostle Paul was concerned about spiritual growth in the church at Corinth. See, they said they had this faith, this simple faith in the Lord, and yet they weren't acting and bearing the fruit to show that. Listen to what he says to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto ye were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able, for ye are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are you not carnal and walk as men? See, this is the great danger today in the church, where people think, I have this simple faith. All you have to do is trust in the Lord. And as long as I have this simple faith, I can live any way I want to. I can just stop going to church. I can stop reading my Bible. I can just stop praying. I can stop these things because I have the faith. But see, that's not the biblical view of faith. Faith is simple, but it grows. It makes us more dependent upon the Lord. So therefore, if you say, I have this simple faith, and you don't see yourself growing in the things of the Lord, there's a disconnect somewhere. There's something not right in your life. There's a misunderstanding of simple faith. Because the Scripture is very clear when it comes to the teaching in the Scripture, that we are blessed and have this precious faith. And one of the reasons why it's so precious is it becomes stronger and grows in the Christian life. Is that really what's happening in your life, my friend? Is your faith growing in the Lord? Or do you feel that it's stunted? You feel it's stagnant? You feel like, I'm not growing? Well, how do you grow in the Lord? You grow in the Lord by reading the Word, by prayer, worship, spiritual means, taking advantage of all these things. And then when we neglect those things, for whatever reason, when we don't take advantage of those things which God has given to us, we're just hurting ourselves. We're neglecting our spiritual souls. We're not being diligent and vigilant as we should to in our understanding of what faith truly is. See, faith grows. And I don't know, again, what happened to this woman after Mark 5, but my thought is that she went on to be with the Lord. She went on to walk with the Lord and to grow in grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. I wouldn't have any other reason why to think otherwise. Because that's the natural progression when someone receives simple faith. It grows. It develops. And that's the wonderful thing about the new birth. See, simple faith is precious because it's not complicated and it leads to growth in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, this leads to my final point, which is that faith is precious because it's a secure faith. It's a secure faith. We read in Mark chapter 5, verse 34, and he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. See, the deliverance of this woman, this deliverance this woman so longed for was finally realized in Jesus Christ. Her faith in Christ led to peace of mind and soul. Christ made her whole. Christ did it. She could now make Psalm 4, verse 8 her own when she read Psalm 4, 8. Listen to the words of the psalm. I will both lay me down in peace and sleep, for thou, Lord, only makest me dwell in safety. That's her testimony right here. Because her peace came from the Lord. Her security is in the Lord. Our assurance is in the Lord. She could rejoice with the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 5, verse 1, when he writes, Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. These verses that we read are verses to encourage us and to strengthen, to give us assurance, and our faith is secure in Christ. It's not going to be overthrown. We can't lose it. We can't lose it because it's secure in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's essentially what Jesus Christ is saying to the woman in Mark 5, verse 34. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. There's this assurance, there's security that what Christ has done will last. Being confident of this very thing, that he that hath begun a good work in you shall perform it to the day of Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 1. That's what Christ is saying to this woman. I've begun this work in you and I'm going to finish it to the very end. And that's assurance, brethren. You may struggle with assurance at times. We all have varies of struggles when it comes to assurance. But how do we overcome these doubts and fears? By understanding the scripture, understanding that what our confidence and assurance is in Christ. He gives us the peace. He blesses us with this blessed assurance. This woman in Mark 5 could sing Psalm 29 verse 11 with a new understanding. Listen to this. The Lord will give strength unto his people. The Lord will bless his people with peace. She didn't have peace before. Now she has peace. How did she get it? She got it from the Lord. What should that instill in her? That my peace is secure. It's not going anywhere. The Lord eradicated my disease. That's gone. He's given me peace. That peace can never be cast out of me. That peace can never be lost. That peace can never be replaced with something else. It's there permanently in the life of the Christian. Isn't that a wonderful thing? I mean, that thrills your heart because Christ put it there. Who's going to take that away? It was Christ who put it there. The devil can't even take that from you. He tries, but he can't. See, faith in Christ is precious because it assures us of security and peace that we never had before. Listen to Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. We know these verses. Be careful for nothing. It means be anxious for nothing. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. See that security there in verse 7? And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Remember, we were talking about this woman's heart and mind. Well, what's going to keep her heart and mind on Christ? The Lord's promises, the Lord's power. In closing, the woman in Mark 5 possessed the precious faith written about by the Apostle Peter in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 1. Is Christ precious to you? Is this precious faith active in your life? Do you possess this saving, sincere, simple, and secure faith in the Lord Jesus Christ? May God help us all to walk by faith in this present evil world. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your word, Lord. We thank you for how you worked in the lives of these troubled people. And how you spent your days doing this day in and day out. People with diseases and sicknesses and people that we would usually stay away from that wouldn't have anything to do with. And yet the Lord Jesus Christ dealt with these people all the time on a regular basis. And yet we see from this all not only the great love of Christ, but we see how precious faith is when we put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Christ comes to us and helps us, saves us, heals us. And Lord, what can we say? Words fail to describe how astonished we are when it comes to salvation, that you would save the likes of us. And yet, we believe you have, Lord. We believe, just like this woman with the issue of blood, that not only can you believe, not only can you heal, but you have healed us. And you will continue to be with us because our security is not in ourselves but in Christ. So, Lord, help us to take these important truths away from your word. Help us to learn from these things and to be more like our Savior. And if there's someone here that has a misunderstanding of what faith is, we pray, Lord, that they might see that faith is not just a decision that you raise your hand for Christ and you walk away and your life's never changed. There's nothing different about you. Faith is much more greater than that. Faith, yes, it starts as simple faith, but it grows and it develops and matures as we follow the Lord. So bless us now, Lord, and thank you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen.